in for Insight with Jack Sogler on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Sogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Sogler.
Good evening, everybody, on this gorgeous Wednesday evening. We welcome into studio a whole boatload of people that I'm not going to remember anybody's names. But we're truly going to try to put 8 pounds of sausage in a 5 pound casing at this point, because we've got a lot planned.
Yes.
For the next hour
or two
or so.
Yeah, we have things going on with Insight and Sports Talk. They're all extremely important.
So, but I welcome in the studio some representatives from Assure and from the Women's Warriors, correct? And a couple of representatives from the psychology department at Wright State. One's a representative as a student, correct, Hannah?
Okay. Yeah, that's right.
Hey, all right. Hey, there's one I got right. All right. So, first of all, let's talk about Assure.
Okay.
Okay? So, what is it, and what does it do?
Assure stands for Area Suicide Support and Resources. And we have a number of things we do. We do a fundraiser every fall. Ours is coming up September 9th at Mercer County Fairgrounds. We use those funds to, if someone needs help with maybe counseling and things like that, or remediation after a suicide, or even the expenses of a suicide funeral. And then we also offer a scholarship.
And how long has Assure been in existence, at least from a Mercer County standpoint?
Well, we are just in Mercer County. We've been together as Assure for about 5 years. Previous to that, we were with the American Foundation of Suicide Prevention.
Excellent. So, I don't want to delve into personal matters, but so often when somebody becomes involved in this, it's because they have a story.
Yes.
Can you share a little bit, comfortable with?
Yes. My husband died by suicide 11 years ago, and his sister lives in the Dayton area, and that's how we got involved with the foundation. And we did a couple walks with them, and they are a wonderful organization. They do a lot of research and so forth, but any money we got from our walks went directly to them. And we live in Mercer County. We like to know where our money goes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we started this organization, and so we can keep some of that money here.
Fantastic. So, did you find, after your experience with your husband, that the support and the resources weren't very available, and that's kind of why you reached out?
Yes, I think that's part of it. But me personally, I wanted people to not be afraid to talk about suicide. If someone has problems mentally or whatever they're going through, you need to look for those signs. You need to address it. If somebody is sick with heart problems or cancer, we talk about it. But when someone has a suicide issue, it's like you keep your mouth shut, you keep it close to yourself. And we've had 2 suicides in Mercer County just in the last, I'm going to say, month.
Yeah. Until fairly recently, that was kind of quote unquote, what you're supposed to do is not talk about it. And that really is probably the worst thing, is to not talk about, pretend it doesn't exist. And you know, it'd be nice if we could pretend it didn't exist, and it doesn't exist, but it does.
Yes.
And it helps the family, the person, and everybody involved, and even strangers. It helps everybody if people are aware that it's a real thing, and that real, normal people, things can happen to them or a loved one, and it just, it's a real thing, and it happens.
So you know, that kind of can be said as far as your mental health.
Correct.
So you kind of talked to Dr. Ricker, correct? Mm-hmm. And you're the psychology professor at Wright State Lake Campus, right?
Correct. One of the three we have out there.
So, why don't you share a little bit about how you became involved in this organization?
Yeah, sure. So, I think it was the beginning of last school year, actually, the Assure Group kind of reached out to campus and let us know that they're doing their suicide awareness walk, and that's really where we kind of got our foot in the door with them. We went to the walk with a handful of students. Hannah was one of them. And it was really just a great opportunity to be able to kind of intermingle with people in the community who are interested in, you know, spreading mental health awareness and talking about suicide and everything. It was a great way to get students involved with each other. And then, like I said, that kind of started things off. And then I think it was a few months later, Tanya reached out to the psychology department at the Lake Campus and said, hey, we've been giving some talks around the area, but we feel like our story's been told, not to put words in Margie's mouth, I think that's kind of what you guys said, right? And so they're like, would you guys mind, you know, giving your perspective on mental health awareness and suicide awareness and all that kind of stuff? And so I said, yeah, sure. Let me see if I can find some students who would be interested in doing the same thing with us. And Hannah volunteered to do it. We also have another student, Gwen Elking, who likes to join in with the talks as well. And we've given it a couple times now. I'm still kind of polishing it up a little bit, but I think it's been a great experience for all of us. So we kind of, I approach it from the mental health and the research perspective because I got, you know, my training in psychological research. Hannah works at Momentum in Salina, so she kind of gives us the whole counseling background and a different perspective than mine. And then Gwen is a nursing major, so she kind of gives us the perspective is what you would see from like the hospital situation. So I think between the three of us, we have a pretty well-rounded talk that we give with a lot of information, but also, like you guys are talking about, it's something that needs to be talked about, but nobody does. And the title of our talk is actually Let's Talk About It, Mental Health and Suicidal Ideation. So we're doing what we can to kind of get out there and spread the message that we can, hopefully make people at least a little bit more comfortable opening up this kind of stuff.
Yeah, you know, when you think about the grieving process, you know, when somebody dies from an accident or they have a disease, there's a part of us as a, you know, loved one that thinks, well, that's, you know, that was out of our control. But it's somebody that dies from a suicide, the tendency to think about, I should have seen it coming, or there's something I could have done, or I should have paid closer attention, has to be there. So you just know, just from the perspective of how it happened, that the resources from somebody from a suicide standpoint has to be valuable.
Yeah, definitely. It's the retrospection involved with it, the looking back thinking, man, I should have seen that, or I see the signs now. That's probably one of the most common things that you hear with this kind of stuff, because, you know, we're able to look back and just kind of piece together the puzzle and make it make sense. But, you know, in the time, it's really hard to either notice it, or if you do notice it, it's hard to speak up and say something because it's such a stigmatized topic and people aren't comfortable with it. So that's why we feel like doing what we're doing right now is really important, just to try to get people aware of the signs and figure out, what do we do? Who do we approach? All those types of things.
One of the things that I think I saw maybe on the Assure site or somewhere very recently is, well, I don't want to say something because maybe that's not what's going on. You know, I don't want to, number one, give them ideas or think that I'm trying to push into it, but I think the gist of it was it's better to say, sorry, I misunderstood, than to not say anything. Is there a better way? I think there's a better way to put that, but is that kind of what one of the things that we're trying to get across?
Yeah, very much so. We kind of emphasize it's important to talk about it and just at least bring it up, because, I mean, you know, what's the harm in it? If you are wrong, there's a little bit of embarrassment maybe and some uncomfortable feelings, but somebody that I had talked to who's a mental health counselor told me that, you know, it's better to have somebody angry at you about this topic and alive than you didn't say something and they're not alive anymore.
Yeah. Yep.
And if I can just add, oftentimes what in training I've been through, the person, if you're seeing signs, the person has probably already thought of that.
So, Hannah, I'll ask you a question. So, as a student, first of all, what got you interested in going into the psychology field?
Well, growing up, I went to Marion Local High School, and I mean, now they're doing a better job at raising awareness and getting people involved. But at that time, it kind of just feels like when you're going in through school and you're not in the popular kids club, stuff like that, that you don't really have anyone to talk to. And that can cause some really, really not great feelings, especially when you're a growing child and you don't understand how the world works. So I just thought that it was really interesting to maybe get into stuff like that. And I was talking to my high school guidance counselor about possible careers for my future and told her how I felt very strongly about that. And she mentioned going into therapy and or counseling. So that's just kind of been my life path as of then, being a junior in high school. And now I'm a junior in college.
Fantastic. Well, I tell you what, I wish you well in your studies, and I can tell just by Dr. Ricker's reaction that you're one of his prized students, if I had to guess.
We have a pretty close relationship.
Fantastic. So let's talk about the walk.
Okay.
It is Saturday.
Saturday the
9th. Yeah, so a week from Saturday.
It's a right. week from Saturday.
We didn't want to have them on the week, the 3 days before, because they have a lot of setup. So.
Yeah. And so tell us about it.
Well, like I said earlier, we started this a number of years ago, and we just invite people to come, especially if we know somebody who's experienced a suicide. We have had groups come, and they've got T-shirts with someone's name on it, someone they're remembering. And it's just been a way to get to know people and have, if you want to call it, a safe space. But, you know, a lot of us there have been through a suicide loss, and it's just good to know that people are out there who might be able to help, and just to open it up to the community again, so there isn't such a big stigma.
Yeah. Well, and it's an opportunity to connect with somebody who needs to connect, you know.
Correct.
Oh, I didn't know that this opportunity is out there. I think I'll go to the fairgrounds at 9 o'clock next Saturday and talk to somebody. You know, so that's a really great opportunity. And even though it's free, correct?
Correct.
It's still kind of a fundraiser, so I take that you accept donations?
Yes, and we have, I should have bought a T-shirt, we have a multitude of sponsors, local businesses around the area. We even have a couple from far away who knew my husband.
Yeah.
Last summer, for the first time, we had a booth at the fair, and we made a lot of good connections there, and more people are coming to the walk. So,
fantastic. So, and the walk is from, you can walk like any time from 9 to 11,
yes,
correct?
Yes, and you don't even have to walk.
Yeah.
We usually have coffee available and water, and sometimes if you get there early enough, there might be donuts.
Yeah. Get there early for those.
There's three donuts, so get there very early.
Well, we get there much earlier, so they might already be gone.
So it might even be three.
Yeah. So. But you can just come and sit and talk with us, or walk one round or whatever. You can walk till 11 o'clock, but it's not... Yeah.
And you can walk in groups if you want to do pledges and things like that, and you know, get that type of thing, or if you just want to come give a donation or encouragement.
And oftentimes,
or receive encouragement.
And oftentimes, you don't even really need to discuss the reason you're there. You just have people surrounding you who have been through what, there's just kind of an unspoken understanding of why you're there. And it's just a great way to connect with people that you've never met before. I mean, one of my classmates of last year went with me, and I literally did not know a single thing about her. I just knew where she was from and that she was also a psychology major. Mm-hmm. And the more that we talked, the more that we walked, we got to know each other pretty well, to the point that we became really good friends for the rest of the school year. And we got the coffee there that she was talking about, and of course, I mean, that made us jittery, so we wanted to talk more and more, and we were there for
more and more.
Yeah, absolutely. So we were there for a really long time, and it was just such a good way to connect with someone I had literally knew nothing about.
Yeah. So there's not just people who might be looking for encouragement. There are people there that who are encouragers, and they can actually can easily be both, I'm sure. But, you know, it's just a good way to either get support or show support, kind of not necessarily in a specific way to people that need some support.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So in a group like Assure, I'm assuming that you don't necessarily reach out to people as much as you're there for them to reach out to.
Right. If someone does reach out, and I have had that happen, I think some of the others has as well. And sometimes it's just being that ear, someone to who's been through it, who listened to you, and not listen to me, but listen to what their story is. And again, sometimes it's just being that ear.
I'll tell you what, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back, and I have another question for the good doctor here, and then I think we're also going to have Haley and Marilyn join us, right?
Shannon.
Oh, she is. Okay, well.
Yes.
Neil, I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
Well, we should get name tags.
What I do know is we're going to be back right after this.
Yep.
This is Zoe from Brick Street Tavern, and we have delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials at a great price Monday through Friday. And now we also offer a second cook's choice lunch special every day. We still offer our regular lunch favorites. We start off each week with Mystery Monday, and our special will be something different each week. On Tuesday, it's our meatloaf dinner. Wednesday, it will be our famous three-piece chicken dinner. Thursday, you can get a tenderloin with fries and applesauce. And on Friday, we have our big half-pound cheeseburger with fries and slaw. And now we also offer a second lunch special every day. Check our Facebook page daily to see what our two lunch specials will be. Fast, delicious, home-cooked meals. Lunchtime, Monday through Friday, here at Brick Street Tavern in downtown Fort Recovery.
At Cooper Farms, family first isn't just a saying. It's our culture.
I like that the company has a value system that I can subscribe to. Things that are important to the organization are also things that are important to me. We have very caring and competent leaders that value family.
Join the family. Apply online at CooperFarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canute from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. If you're serious about your lawn, you should get a lawn or garden tractor sold by someone who is dedicated to knowing their products. That's why more and more people are realizing the value in purchasing lawn and garden tractors from a local independent Simplicity dealer like K&L Tractor. We offer test drives, financing plans, service technicians, setup and delivery, and of course, the best tractors and zero-turn mowers made. Simplicity, the way to a beautiful lawn.
Assure, the local area suicide awareness.
Awareness Group will be having their annual Suicide Awareness Community Walk at the Mercer County Fairgrounds on Saturday morning, September 9th, from 8:30 to 11 a.m. If you'd like to be part of this great cause, all you need to do is stop by the fairgrounds that day and register. Get your pledges lined up ahead of time and walk as far and as long as you want, and you can start any time from 9 to 11. Find details at assuremc.org. All proceeds from the walk will be used to promote suicide prevention and awareness and to support local suicide support and services in our communities and schools. So if you want to help out a great cause and get a little exercise in the process, head out to the Mercer County Fairgrounds on Saturday morning, September 9th, from 8:30 to 11 a.m. and join the Suicide Awareness Community Walk presented by Assure, the area suicide support resources.
We're back. Insight. Jack Stogler talking to a whole group of people about Assure and suicide prevention and support and the upcoming walk coming up on September 9th at the Mercer County Fairgrounds. And we're joined by two young ladies who I think each have a story.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, so Haley, I'll let you go first.
Okay. Hi, I'm Haley. So I kind of just wanted to come on here and give a different perspective because I feel like as a teenager or a young adolescent, it's not really talked about enough in kids because there is a lot of mental health issues in kids nowadays, and it's not really talked about. So my personal experience with it is in 2021, I had an overdose attempt late that month, and like Dr. Ricker and Hannah said earlier, I'm telling you there probably wasn't very many signs at all, and I don't blame anybody at all for not catching it in time or anything, but I'm not going to go too deep into my personal, like, story here, but for anybody who is, like, listening out there, even if you're a teen, you are just as important as anybody else that's struggling with this kind of stuff, and I know there is a huge generational boundary now when it comes to mental health, and I've dealt with that a lot myself. It's hard. It is. Being a teenager in this age is really, really hard.
Is social media a part of the problem, a lot of the problem, none of the problem?
It definitely was a big issue for me. I feel like even in person, high school was probably worse for me than social media ever was. People are mean. And sometimes I don't realize how mean they're being.
Yep.
And where you grow up and the environment that you live in is also a really big factor. Mm. So, like my family life, that was a big factor.
Yep.
So, how old were you when?
I was 15.
You were 15.
Yep.
And there are resources, or there were resources in a high school, but I'm not sure kids always feel comfortable using that avenue. Is
it? Yeah, not really, and I wouldn't say it's any of like the guidance counselors or the school staff's fault. It's just a lot of teenagers aren't super comfortable talking to adults because they don't think they're going to understand. They think they're just going to go and run and tell people that don't need to know, or even like snitch on them to their parents. So it's not really any of the school's fault either.
So you know, we have little Janet that's out there, and she is listening right now. As somebody who's been there, done that, what would you tell her?
Honestly, I just tell her that you don't think it's going to get any better, but I promise there is always going to be a way out of something. And even if that means pushing through it by yourself, that you can do it, because I've gone way farther than I could have ever imagined. And honestly, more doing it by myself than anything. So it's just recognizing that inner strength that you do have, even if you realize you don't.
Fantastic. fantastic.
Wow, huh?
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. So, well, I tell you what, know that you've always got a friend in Port Recovery Radio, too.
I appreciate it.
Shannon, correct?
Yes.
Can you tell us your story?
Sure. My name is Shannon Denniston, and I'm from Dark County. My story sort of started back in 2020, where I attempted to take my own life on June 26. And in all honesty, talking about like what the signs and stuff was, I was amazing at hiding my pain. I wasn't just in physical pain or mental pain or emotional or spiritual pain. It was an astronomical amount of everything pain. And I got really good at hiding it. And so, you know, my husband didn't know, my children didn't know, my friends didn't know, my parents didn't know. And it wasn't anything that I had planned to do. It happened. I hear people say, well, you know, there, you know, people that attempt suicide, you know, most of the time have a plan and they're going to do X, Y, and Z. For me, that wasn't it. For me, it was not being able to control what was going on inside of my head to where I just lost all control. And
so did that happen somewhat gradually at that specific time, or did it kind of build, or did it just something happen that said, well, I think it's time to just go?
So, you know, my story actually starts way further back than June of 2020. Mm-hmm. My very first suicide attempt was at the age of 13. And it was because of family issues. I grew up in a very abusive home, mentally, physically abusive. And, you know, at that time, it felt like, you know, nobody wants me anyway. Why even bother? And so I had suffered for, you know, well over 30 years with mental health issues. I have severe depression, anxiety, complex PTSD. And it wasn't really one thing that led to it. It was a combination of everything. You know, there was family issues, there were work issues, there were all of these issues, and for once, I was not capable of containing it or controlling it. And that's, I think, what sent me over the edge.
So, sitting here now, why are you sitting here now? What do you attribute that to, the fact that you're here with us?
It's only by the grace of God that I'm here. And the day that I actually attempted suicide, I actually had a loaded 9mm in my car that actually was taken out of my car by my son, who was smart enough to go, well, we're back from, you know, doing this, I'll go and put it away. That way mom doesn't have to, kind of thing. If the firearm was still in my car, I would not be here today.
Wow. So it was just one of those things where he's just putting stuff away and yep. and it wasn't available. Wow.
Yep.
So to get from point A to point B, to where you are now, do you attribute that growth, I guess you'd call it, to counseling, medication, faith?
It's a combination of all of it. You know, I'm on several different medications. I was actually even going through therapy even prior to my suicide attempt, and my therapist was like 2 weeks before my suicide attempt, my therapist was like, you know, you need to find somewhere to go, you need a respite stay, you need somewhere where you can go and chill out. And I was like, no, I got this, I can do this, no big deal. And
I'm
then,
busy.
Bam.
Yeah.
I mean, and it was, I don't have time for this. I've got 3 kids that are junior high and high school. I don't have time to, you know, worry about mom.
Yeah.
Well, the fact that you can both sit here so elegantly and speak of it says volumes, you know. And you know, to understand that I'm sure to some extent it's therapeutic for you, but to be able to do it and to help others is awesome.
Thank you.
So, Doc, so as a professional in this line of work, okay, what do you know, when you talk about the you medication part of it, so often there's that, yeah, but I don't like the way it makes me feel type thing. Okay. So what is the general steps? And I know that you're not practicing in this field, but you, what's the general steps to help somebody?
Well, the first thing is to talk about it. Like, figure out what's going on, make people aware of what the situation is. But then it's really kind of difficult because, you know, we're all different. What works for one person, it might not work for another person. It just generally speaking, it seems, at least based on like the research and stuff, that a combination of a biomedical intervention, it's like some type of medication along with psychotherapy, is what works the best. But then again, finding the right medication, the right dosages, that's gets to be a slippery slope sometimes. And then also people end up not liking them because they can take a while to kick in. So, I mean, you can give somebody, if it's depression is what's leading to these issues, give them an SSRI or other types of antidepressants. They can take up to like 6 weeks before they'll start to work. And so when people start to take something and then they're like, I still don't feel any better, then that starts to cause another issue. So that's why some type of combination of therapies tends to be the best thing.
And, you know, we've talked about the support piece from an assured standpoint. Let's get proactive to a certain extent. What are the warning signs that any of us could look for to kind of help somebody who might be in those shoes now that... Yeah, you know, what are we looking for?
See, that's another tricky one, but kind of based off what Haley was saying, sometimes there aren't any that you can really just like readily pick up on. But typically like social withdrawal, or if there's just a big change in that person's personality, like if they were not even necessarily just happy-go-lucky, but if they just, they don't seem like themselves and it's consistent and there's nothing that you can really point to and say, okay, they just went through this major life change. It's expected right now. Or if they did go through a major life change and they're a little bit different, but for a really long time, like, you know, more than a few weeks or so, that's something that should start to send up some red flags. Also, like external personal hygiene is another one. If people just stop taking care of themselves, that kind of shows that they're kind of not caring anymore. They might be giving up a little bit. So those are a few of the key indicators.
So Haley, as a teen, would you now, as you look into the future and you're a mom of a teen, would you make damn sure you know what's on their social media accounts?
Yeah, I definitely would. I know for me, the night that I tried or I attempted to commit suicide, I actually had one of my friends sleeping in the bed beside me. And thank God for her, because she's a blessing, because she's pretty much the one who saved me from waking, or because she woke up. But just I want to make sure that even in my kids in the future know that I'm very aware of what it feels like, and I will understand. And I know a lot of parents today are just like, it's just a phase. It's, you're just a teenager. You're going through changes, hormones, all that kind of stuff.
Tough it out.
Yeah. So all teenagers, I really think that they should know that the stuff they're going through is very valid. And it's not, they're not being overdramatic. They're not like, it's just, it's very valid, the feelings that you're feeling. And I do think that is something that, like I said, with the generations, that people need to accept, is not everybody's going to deal with things the same way. And so just be nice to people and listen. That's a very important thing, just listening.
Those are two profound things. Be nice to people and listen. I mean,
well, and that, and I think what
if you people
said,
could do that, we just that might all be solved. But that isn't how the world works. But that's awesome.
And I think what you said about feeling validated. You know, everybody has to feel that they matter.
Yeah.
You know, and once you get to that point to where you don't, then you start asking yourself questions. What's it all about? You know? So,
if I could,
parents, be good listeners.
Exactly. That's something that's really is at the foundation of all this. It's like being able to listen to other people, because that's what makes us feel connected. And that's pretty much really the basis of our talk, is if you can make people feel like they're part of something and feel connected with other people. Like, humans are very social creatures. Like, we just need to be able to talk to others and be listened to. And that really, it's therapeutic for everybody. And that's really the basis of stuff like any type of counseling, just making people understand that, you know, somebody's there to listen to you.
And I wanted to chime in. As for me, I became completely transparent to my kids. They knew I went in. Actually, they thought I had a mental breakdown. But when I came home from my hospital stay, you know, it was very important for me to explain to my children that, one, it was not their fault. And two, that, you know, it's because I'm sick. It's not, you know, because they were bad or they did this or did that, they did that. It's because, you know, my brain is sick. But we became very, very transparent in, you know, how are you feeling? And, you know, I've got teenagers, and my teenage daughter was, you know, she's, you know, does the shrug or whatever. And it's like, no, really, girl, how are you? Like, are you really good? And being transparent is, I think, a very important factor, too, when you're trying to heal from your trauma, because it affects everybody, so.
And I think it's important, Shannon, that both you and your children realize that being mentally ill is just as valid as having a broken arm.
Yep.
It's not something that you can easily fix. It takes time to heal. And although there's different ways of going about healing it, it is just as important as a physical ailment.
Yes.
And that's one of the things that at least in my world, until the last 3 or 4 years, that wasn't how it was. It was just suck it up and go. Let's, you know, it isn't that, life isn't that bad. Well, maybe for me it isn't, but for somebody else, maybe it is. And it, and everybody deals with it differently, and everybody's, you know, I'll ask you, Professor, about like somebody that's bipolar, and they're taking medication. My understanding is that every once in a while something changes and their medication needs to change. Is that something that family and friends can say, maybe you need to get this checked again?
That is something that can happen, but it's something that's really difficult to kind of pick up on. You really need to watch other people's, like, it's the only time it really gets to be obvious is when the behaviors start to become kind of extreme. So it's really something more where if you keep up with your doctor and any type of therapist, so they're going to pick up on it much better.
And they almost always will do normal 3, 6, 12-month checkups, I'm sure, just to be sure. Okay. And again, just be nice to people. Yeah. Just it doesn't hurt anything to just say something nice to somebody. You don't know what they're going through, but just saying, hey, I like your hair, or hi, have a nice day, or something like that, that can help. Now, that's not going to solve every problem, but if everybody did that all the time, there'd be a little less problems. But so
you never say anything nice to me, Neil.
That's because you always mess with my head. You made this poor young lady laugh when you said we're back before we were back.
I'll tell you, you're
always messing with me.
We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and talk with Shannon and Jamie from the Women Warriors, right after this.
Klingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
Hull Brothers in Fort Recovery has openings in their parts department. If you're friendly and professional with a working knowledge of farm equipment, consider joining the Hull Brothers team. Applicants need to have solid computer skills, a good ability to communicate, and the desire to learn. Full-time employees enjoy great pay and benefits. Since 1896, Hull Brothers has served area farmers. Consider joining the parts department at Hull Brothers in Fort Recovery. Stop in soon or give Hull Brothers a call today.
Miracle Lanes is now back open after their summer break. Stop in and see Corey and Jared, bowl a game or two, visit with friends, grab something to eat. And if you're looking to feed the family, what's better than Miracle Lanes Pizza? Also, try one of their subs or other sandwiches, and don't forget about their famous wings. Just call them at 375-4274, then drive through and pick it up. And if you're planning a birthday party or other get-together, call and reserve your day and time for some Lanes. And be sure to get there for their great pizza and wing buffet on Fridays at lunch. Miracle Lanes is open Thursdays at 3, Fridays, Saturday, and Sundays at 11. Call them at 375-4274 to order ahead. There's an event coming up you don't want to miss. The Cancer Association of Mercer County is sponsoring a bowling tournament, and it will be a 4-person team, 8-pin, no tap. It will be held at Miracle Lanes on Saturday, September 16th, with sessions at 2, 4, and 6. The cost is $100 per 4-person team and includes 2 games and 8 beer tickets per team. There will also be a 50-50 drawing and several raffle items for you to win. Get your team together and sign up now at Miracle Lanes or by calling Tom Ramoklis at 419-852-2987. That's the 8-pin no-tap bowling tournament happening on Saturday, September 16th at Miracle Lanes, benefiting the Cancer Association of Mercer County. Where there is help, there is hope.
We're back. Insight. Jack Stogler talking to Shannon Denniston, correct?
Yes.
And Jamie Levesque.
Yes.
Yep, right. Yep. And they are from the Women Warriors Suicide Support Group. And along the same line as the groups that we just talked to, except you kind of focus on those women that come from abusive homes or those types of things, correct?
So we are actually not inclusive to just women. Our support group is going to be open to anybody at any age. I've worked this past summer, we've worked with some teen groups, and it's very evident and very that kids are hurting. So if there's any one focus, it's going to be the kids. But again, it's for anybody. And Women Warriors, since my suicide attempt and constantly working on how to make myself better, to break the generational curses that we have, I decided to put this together because this is what I needed. When, you know, like, I wish I had this when I had my suicide attempt. And so that's where Women Warriors was sort of born.
Jamie, how long have you been involved with the Women Warrior group?
Well, we are actually a very new organization as far as being out there and advertised. And like Shannon said, it's something that she realized that she wanted to, you know, had that been there, a resource that you could call and just be heard. You know, we've talked about that all night, even with Haley and Hannah and everything and the doctor, that, you know, just being heard is one of the few steps. One of the probably most important steps, because we all want to be, like Haley said, we all want to be validated. And so with that being said, it was just created because of that. And so as far as being involved, I've actually been with Shannon, a friend, for a number of years. Our kids started out going to school together. There's a long history there. And we just, you know, especially after her attempt, you know, I didn't realize that she had, you know, like she said, very good at hiding. I did not realize that she was contemplating, you know, trying to take her own life. So, you know, we got to talking and formulated, but we're also going to, you know, specialize in education and awareness for human trafficking, abuse, and suicide awareness. And all of those topics play into each other because people feel less than because of all of that, their background, what has happened to them. You know, it's a mental breakdown. And then they get to the point where they feel like, you know, well, I might as well just check out of society and the world because there's nothing else out there. And, you know, they've been so broken down mentally that they don't foresee another way out. And so since all of those topics play into each other, we decided to specialize in the education and awareness for that. And so right now we're just, you know, at the foundation of that. We actually just created and registered Women Warriors Ministry as an LLC, and that was created at the beginning of August. And we're just looking for the support and the resources to continue that. And one of the first things we started out doing is in October in Dark County, we'll be doing a suicide support group.
And so part of the reason for the timing is that you're just starting up, right? And this group is going to meet when and where?
This group is going to meet the first and third Mondays of every month starting in October. So I believe the first one is October 2nd, I think is the first Monday in October. And so the first and third Monday at Radiant Lighthouse on their campus. It's a church there in Dark County. For those who are familiar with it, it's the one on Route 127 that used to be Lighthouse Christian Center. But for the past almost 4 years, we have been Radiant Lighthouse through a great merger of two people with a great vision, two pastors there. But we will be meeting on their campus. They were nice enough to give us a building to meet there for that from 6:30 to 8 o'clock. And it's just open to all ages and genders. If you want to be heard, you need someone to hold your hand. We are not a counseling organization at this point in time, maybe in the future. If we need to get a hold of people, we've obviously met some great resources tonight that if you need counseling, we can connect you with that. We will have resources available as that progresses and then offer other things in the future to help out with that.
How, other than being on Fort Recovery Radio, how do you get your name out there?
Walk in the streets.
But, you know, because it just seems like there's a boatload of organizations out there that offer a lot of different things. And if I'm in this group, how do I find out about you guys?
Well, we are actually in the process of meeting with those different organizations. That is part of my aspect of what I do for Women Warriors, is to find those resources and meet with those people to say, if you need somebody at that point in time to send someone to, go ahead and send them to us. If we need to then refer them to counseling or whatever, we are more than willing to do that. But that is part of, you know, with any good business aspect, even though it's a ministry, it's still a business. And you have to just go out and get your name out there, and you have to meet with those people face to face and say, we are here. And like you said, there's many organizations out there. But, you know, if you're contemplating suicide, or you've been human trafficked, or if you've been abused through your life, at that point in time, you're not even aware that organization exists.
Yeah.
So perfect. preferably if you've went to a counselor or a therapist and they think you need some extra support, that is where our name would already be out there in Dark County and the surrounding Tri-County area, to say, hey, here's a place where you can go and just do some additional, you know, you need to talk to someone, you want someone to relate to you. And that's where Shannon's story definitely comes into play. She is a great resource for many things that you think have mentally broke you down. Come and talk to us, you know, just so that you know that somebody else, we just met with somebody yesterday, and somebody else feels what you're feeling and understands what you're going through.
Fantastic. So, Shannon, you helped create the Women Warrior group?
Yes.
Because it's what you felt like you could have used at a certain time.
Correct. You know, I've been in Dark County well over 25 years, and I didn't really know what Dark County had or didn't have as far as help. And like I said, I was going to my counselor on a regular basis, and I mean, she's an amazing woman, and I love her dearly. I don't think I would be where I'm at in my stage of healing without her. But I always felt like there was something else that was needed. And that's where, you know, like, I just want to be able to hold your hand and tell you it's going to be okay. Because I never had somebody that was going to hold my hand to tell me that it was okay. Even though people probably said it, to be able to actually
connect,
hold your hand and say, you know what, I get you. I've been there. I've felt the pain. I have seen the same demons you're dealing with, and it's going to be okay. That's a game changer for me.
So, and I don't know if anybody can answer this question. So, from an age standpoint, what is the typical age of a suicide attempt?
Any? It affects anybody. I mean, I was a dialysis technician for 21 years, and we had a lot of, you know, older patients that had, suicide has no age boundary. It can happen at 6, it can happen at 66, it can, you know, happen at 106. I don't think there's really any kind of an age.
I think good doctor is going to chime in here.
Yeah, so she's completely right. It can happen to anybody, anywhere, anytime. There do tend to be a couple of groups, though, where it kind of focuses in. The first one is going to be, it's kind of a wide age range, but it's like from, you know, early teens to about 30, early 30s. And that's because they say there's this intense competition to figure out who you are amongst other people, and also try to find somebody to kind of get through life with, because life is really tough. Like, it's not easy for anybody. And if you're starting to struggle trying to figure out who you are, who you want to live your life with, you know, what you want to do, that really starts to weigh down on a lot of people. So that's one of the age groups that you see. And then the other one, it tends to be like 70 plus. That's because, for, again, a number of reasons, but mainly there's the caregiver's burden, where you start to feel like, I'm not doing everything on my own anymore. I need a lot of help from friends and family, and that starts to weigh down on you. Also, you just start to kind of lose a lot of, you know, freedoms that you used to have maybe when you were younger. So those are the two age groups where it tends to kind of focus it. But like she said, she was completely right. Like, it's not just those two groups, it's everybody.
Well, and if you think about that age group, the, you know, teen to 35, that's when you're going through a lot of your major life stresses, whether it's high school or leaving to go to college, or your first job, or your first mortgage, or your first marriage. There's a lot that goes on, and you don't always know how to handle those things when they don't go the way you expect them to. I did read where I think suicide is the second leading cause of death in people between the age of 13 and 35. So, it's incredible. So, what would you guys like to add about women warriors that we haven't talked about yet?
Basically, that we are going to continue to be there as a resource. You know, you hear of a lot of new startups that just kind of fade away. There is the personal experience involved in this. There's the personal experience of having a suicide survivor who is the founder and CEO. That's not something that's going to go away. She's always going to have that experience. She was abused as a child. There's lots of other things to that story. If you want to hear about that story, then you need to come and connect with us. If you want to be relatable, you need to come and connect with us. There's lots of other things we will be offering. I don't want to jump ahead of ourselves and mention what all of those are, but there is lots of other things in the works for that.
And was there some place they can go to watch, to look, like social media when those things come up?
We are on Facebook.
Okay.
So look up Women Warriors of Greenville. We are out of the, we live in the Arcanum area, but generalization for Dark County, you know, that's the county seat. So look up Greenville and, you know, connect with us on there. You can message us. You can email us at warriorbethedifference@gmail.com. You can call us, go on Facebook to find that number, or, you know what, call 937-670-0311 and we will get you connected with what you need, or come and meet with you in a general location if you need to talk now. And always know that if it's immediate, dial 911, dial 988, which is the suicide prevention hotline.
988 is the new one that people need to remember.
You can text, you can call, you can go online with that. And come to the Assure Walk on September 9th. We will also be up there going through that walk as well, and Shannon will be speaking for a brief moment for opening ceremonies for that as well. But definitely come in, if you're in the Mercer County, Auglaize County area, connect with Assure, you know, get a hold of them, and we will continue to be partnered with them as well in the future. And just, you know, get a hold of someone. And our main thing is, and always feel free to say, how can I help? You know, we talked about things you should do. A simple, open-ended, how can I help, causes someone to stop and think, well, how do I need help? What can they do for me?
Well, I tell you what, I congratulate each of you guys for being where you are and doing what you do. It's a tremendous service that you're providing to people that really need it. And Hannah, follow your dreams. You know, I don't think there's any doubt that, you know, people like you are going to be even more important in the future. So, the Assure Walk is September 9th at the Mercer County Fairgrounds. It is free, but bring your billfolds anyways.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. They are taking donations and to help with things, but that's not technically the point. It is
everybody,
to let people know that there's help out there.
Everybody, be kind. Be good listeners. Parents, know what's on your kids' social media. Neil, be nice to Jack.
Thank you.
Am I missing anything?
You covered it all.
Guys, this has been a really quick 55 minutes, and you all did a fantastic job.
Thanks for having us.
We appreciate you guys coming.
And again, it open invitation. Whenever you guys you want to pop up with something new, we'd love to have you.
Yep. I also understand we had a little bit of technical problem, but all of this is recorded, will be in the archives, which is where most of the people listen anyway. So a lot of people go on the
work,
and so it'll be FortRecoveryRadio.com. Go to the archives. It'll be in there sometime around 10 o'clock. And so if you didn't happen to catch all of it, or if you were one of the people experiencing technical problems, it's all recorded, and it'll be in the archives. So we'll be back in just a minute or two with the folks from the St. Joe Festival.
Sound good.
And then Rocker. Back in just a minute.
There's one guarantee in business, and that is that you can never predict the future. Hi, I'm Amanda Segrist with Fort Recovery Insurance. Lots of unpredictable things happen in business. The economy might take a U-turn, or that guy from down the road might take a U-turn into your front door. From a commercial insurance package to a commercial umbrella policy, we can make sure you are covered for the unpredictable. We are your local agent for Ohio Mutual Insurance Group. Visit us at www.fortrecoveryinsurance.com.
You can't predict the future. Well, except that Ohio weather is unpredictable, and sometime in the future, you will lose power. Of course, with the Generac automatic standby generator from Reasoner Energy, you're covered. And for added predictability, now through October 8th, get a free 10-year warranty with your purchase of a Generac automatic standby generator. That's a $1,035 value. Terms and conditions apply. A predictable future is in your hands. Call for details, Reasoner Energy, 419-678-4858.
It's summer, and that means lots of cookouts, and Wayne IGA has everything you need. They have great prices on their nicely trimmed steak, ready to go in their grab-and-go meat case. T-bones and New York strips are $7.99 a pound. Angus ribeyes are only $9.99 a pound. Boneless skinless chicken breasts are just $2.99 a pound. Boneless pork chops are $3.49 a pound. And their ground chuck is $4.29 a pound, bulk or patties. While you're there getting your grilling supplies, be sure to grab everything that goes with your cookout. Fresh vegetables, potato salad, macaroni salad, chips and dips, and how about a veggie or meat and cheese tray? And be sure to check out their large selection of wine and beer. Make Wayne IGA your headquarters for all your cookouts this year. Here are the sports broadcasts coming up the rest of this week on Fort Recovery Radio. Tomorrow, our Lady Indians will host the Parkway Lady Panthers and will simulcast WPGW's coverage of that game with the NFHS video. Friday night is football night, and our Indians will travel to Coldwater. The Fort Recovery Radio broadcast team will bring you all the action live with the pregame show starting at 6:40. The NFHS video will be available for the game. Saturday will be volleyball again, as the Lady Indians will host the Arcanum Lady Trojans. Fort Recovery Radio will broadcast the varsity match live starting around 11 a.m. with the NFHS video. Be sure to get out to as many games as you can to help cheer on our Indians teams. But if you just can't get there in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
We're back. Jack Stogler talking to Mr. Ryan Steinbrenner from this time. Are you the high school principal this time, or are you the voice of WOW? Or
this time I'm a maggot.
I'm sorry, I had your microphone off. Yep, go ahead.
All right, now there we go. Now I'm the voice, the guy that has a voice, St. Joe Maggot here for
fantastic.
The festival.
And We are celebrating a special anniversary this year, correct?
That's right. 40th annual St. Joe Homecoming Festival.
That's incredible. And you've been involved in how many of them?
Well, I've been at all of them probably, you know. It started in 85 and I was born in 86, so I think I've hit about every single one. But, you know, I've helped out since I can ever remember, since I was a kid going up there with my dad and helping setting up during the week to, you know, now me and my wife are in charge of the entire thing this year because I don't have enough else to do with my life.
Really? Yeah, this time of year, what do you have going on? Yeah.
Nothing else.
Yeah.
So I tell you what, I know we are short on time, but I want to give us due and to make sure that we touch on all the activities that occur out there the weekend of starting September 8th.
You betcha. Yep, absolutely. Yeah. Well, you know, it's another great weekend out there, and we got a lot planned, a lot of the things that go on every year, and a couple special things, you know, since it's the 40th annual. So it kicks off on Friday night, September 8th, and that's our cornhole tournament we've been doing for 6 or 7 years now. All the funds go to the Friends of St. Joe, and the organization kind of started by my uncle back in 2016 that helped fund a lot of the things that we do at the church and the upkeep and those things that have to be done to keep the church looking as nice as it is. So cornhole tournament's on Friday night. Sign-in starts at 7 o'clock that night. We got food and beer available, and cornhole starts throwing at 8. And that's kind of the adult night. You know, we say, you know, find your babysitters, young adults, and come up there and have a good time for adult night and throw some cornhole. And
We're going to tip board off some custom-made cornhole boards this year. On Friday night, we got some nice American flag eagle boards, which look really cool, and we play on them. But we also got some boards we're going to play on Friday night that we're going to tip board off on Saturday. And I think it might be my favorite thing we're giving away this year. They're custom-made St. Joe Church cornhole boards.
Oh, so how cool.
Chelsea Albers took some beautiful pictures of the church, picked one out, and there's a company that makes the skins for them. They printed it, and it is clear as day. St. Joe Church up there, and that steeple goes right up and stops right before the hole, so it's kind of like just pointing it right to the hole, and it is a beautiful set of cornhole boards. Cool. So we'll tip them off on Saturday, actually. But at Friday night, cornhole tournament, and then Saturday, September 9th, it all kind of kicks off with outdoor mass at 4:30. We always like doing out in the front lawn of St. Joe Church, as long as the rain holds off.
It will.
And so we'll bring our chair, you know, bring your lawn chairs out and be out there for outdoor mass at 4:30. And then stick around afterwards. We got our world famous chili by Kip and Michelle Deuce and a lot of them that help cook that. So you can stick around for some chili or for some food, for some drinks. We got a lot of kitty games and gambling and beer and all the good stuff out there to do. But the big special thing that we're doing this year, all funded through donations by parishioners and other local people, you know, around the community. We're doing a professional fireworks show this year at 9:30 on Saturday night. And so it's the same guys that do the fireworks show for Eldora. They're coming out and helping us out on Saturday night, and we got
so they're not like some guy with a couple of Roman candles.
Yeah, no, it's a this professional is a real fireworks show, and we got a lot of donations for it. So it's going to be a really nice show, and I got to look this up here and make sure I get this right. But we're going to fire them off on the north side of St. Joe Road. So it's actually in Joe and Paul Brackman's hayfield out there, yep, which is farmed by Mike Hine. So first, I want to thank Joe and Paul and Mike for, you know, donating their space. He just cut the hay off today, actually, I think. So we're going to shoot the fireworks off in that hayfield on Saturday night at 9:30. So, you know, bring your kids out, bring your families. It's going to be an awesome fireworks show, kind of highlighting our 40th annual festival.
At this time of year, probably 9:30, 9:45, you'll be shooting them off?
9:30, that's the plan. Yep. 9:30 is hopefully, that's the plan, shoot them off then. And, you know, we'll do a 50-50 that night and some other stuff, and attendance prizes that all kind of wrap around that. But, you know, come for church, stick around for some food and for some, you know, friends and laughs and fun, and at 9:30 we'll shoot the fireworks off. And then after the fireworks show, we always got music out there, and so for the first 38 festivals, me and my dad DJed out there at St. Joe last year, prior to last year's, when me and Dad retired from DJing. And so Russell Bergman did it last year on the 39th, and he did a great job. And when we asked him to do it for the 40th, he said, you know, I'm already busy that night, I can't do it. So me and Dad kind of tossed it around a little bit and said, yeah, it's the 40th, we'll come back. So me and Dad are Slick and RJ out there for one more time DJing the festival.
That's awesome.
This year. So that'll be a good way to finish the night Saturday night, bring back some memories and play some good music.
Yep, till 4 in the morning.
Yeah, we'll see whenever the chairman kicks us out, you know.
So who's the chairman?
Yeah, that'd be me.
So. Yeah, so or 4 wife. In the morning.
I got yelled at many a times in my younger years, you know, from the chairman saying, shut her off, RJ, not in, you know, a lot worse terms, words, and I keep playing. Now I got a feeling I'm going to be telling myself that. It's late, Ryan, just shut her off. You're too old for this.
But they're still having fun.
That's right.
4 in the morning.
So it's going to be a great Saturday out there. You know, we just always pray that we have great weather for this, and we hope we have our biggest crowd ever out there. And, you know, for the fireworks and for Dad and I DJing. And then Sunday wraps back around. It all kind of kicks off at 1 o'clock on Sunday. And what I'm excited about this year is it's always the first weekend of NFL football. So we always can go up there and watch the Browns or the Bengals or whatever. Well, this year it's
the
Browns.
Are you allowed to say Bengals out loud?
I am allowed to say it because right now we're going to watch the Browns beat the Bengals at 1 o'clock on that Sunday. That's right. So they play each other. So, man, it's going to be hooting and hollering and barking and hooting and whatever else up there Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock. So, you know, come up and watch the Browns and Bengals football. Get your food and stuff. A lot of stuff going on for the kids on Sunday. We got our kiddie tractor pools that start at 2, sign in at 1:30. You know, so make sure you get your kids up there for that. We got a beanbag tournament that all ages play in. And we got our horseshoe tournament on Saturday and another one on Sunday. So all those guys that like coming up and gals that like throwing horseshoes, they can do that both Saturday and Sunday. Barbecue chicken dinners on Sunday. If nothing else, if even if you can't stick out, we have barbecue chicken dinners starting at 4 o'clock on Sunday. We have a drive-through available. There's no pre-sale tickets. You just show up.
First come, first serve.
First come, first serve till we're out. So we line up at 4, and you just kind of pull right through the church parking lot there, and get your chicken dinners. And Natalie Uhlenhake's coming out this year, and she's going to play some music and strum some music for us on Sunday afternoon, and then finish her up about 7 o'clock Sunday night with our big raffle drawing, which got 92 different prizes on it this year, donated from local businesses.
What's a grand prize?
$1,000
cash. $1,000. You win $1,000. So are they still selling those raffle tickets?
Yep. We still got the raffle tickets.
And you'll be selling them at the festival.
Yeah, we sell them at the festival. That's where a lot of people buy them. All of the St. Joe parishioners have books of them. We have a bunch of them stacked up in the back of St. Joe Church, so you can pick some up and then, you know, fill them out ahead of time, bring the money with you to headquarters the weekend of the festival and turn them in. So, you know, plenty of ways you can get in it for sure. But, yep, those are still for sale. And, you know, we certainly thank all those businesses that donated prizes for that. So,
for people that want to learn more or want to read about it, where can they find all this info that you just shared?
Facebook is the easiest because social media is kind of the driver of everything. So we have a Facebook page for the festival, St. Joe Homecoming Festival. Or you can check the church bulletin for Mary Help of Christians and St. Joe. And our cluster here has got the information in it. I sat it for the last few weeks, and this weekend I know it's got a big flyer in it for the festival. So either of those places.
Think about the bets and the arguments that'll be made during that Browns-Bengals game.
Oh, yes. It's going to be a good time. You know what? I feel pretty confident because Cade York is not going to be kicking a field goal for the Browns in that game. So I feel pretty good about it, to be honest with you.
That's a good thing.
That's a good thing. Is that a 50-50 or is there more Browns-Bengals? How's that?
I would say it's about 50-50. I think, you know, between you got Sidoffs and Steinbrenners, all these guys are Browns fans, but you got all your pot cutters up there. Some of them are Browns, a lot of them are Bengals. So, yeah, it's kind of a good mix, 50-50. And usually we're on two sides, opposite sides, one watching the Bengals and one watching the Browns. Now we're going to be all intermingled.
Fisticuffs.
It's like the Hatfields and McCoys are all gathered under one tent.
And I'm going to brag on this while I can. You know, last year during the festival, the Bengals lost to the Steelers and the Browns beat the Panthers. Yes. So I'm still riding that high from last year, and I hope that I can still be bragging after this year.
Fantastic. Well, I'll tell you what. We wish you guys and the parish all the luck and fantastic weather and hope you make a ton of money for the Friends of St. Joe, right?
Between the St. Joe Church and the Friends of St. Joe organization, that's kind of where all the funds go. And so, yeah, absolutely. It's what has done all that great work to the parish over the last 10 or 15 years. The cemetery is looking absolutely beautiful now. The church is looking beautiful. All them grounds are coming together. So it doesn't happen by itself. It happens from the work from a lot of parish members and from the generosity of the local community.
Yeah, and besides just wanting to make that happen, that is the coolest festival anywhere. Mm-hmm. So, several people say, well, what goes on there? Nothing. You just talk to people.
Talk to people,
This year, you're also doing 9:30 on Saturday night.
Fireworks. That's a big one.
Professional fireworks. So.
And, you know, it amazed me when I put out just a post 3 or 4 months ago, hey, you know, we're looking for donations, want to do a professional fireworks show. And I thought, you know, maybe we'll get $1,000 in donations and, you know, and we'll put some more money toward it and see what kind of show we get. We got thousands and thousands of dollars in donations. So it's amazing people that come out and help with that stuff. So I hope, you know, that fireworks
show. Because everybody loves that festival, but just because there's not really anything you have to go see except you get to talk to all the coolest people in the world.
Yep, for sure.
Pretty awesome.
Fantastic.
And, I'm gonna plug this, too. Father Mike's going to be dealing blackjack again on Sunday this year. He was all fired up to do it again this year. He tells me he's going to be
dealing
blackjack. So, yeah, you got to watch him now.
Sneaky.
You want to take a couple dollar bills from the church, you get up there against Father Mike on Sunday when he's dealing blackjack.
Well, I'll tell you what. We wish you guys luck, and I hope Mother Nature is a very big fan of yours now. Next weekend.
I hope so, too. I appreciate you saying that, Jack, and I appreciate you squeezing me in for a few minutes to promote the festival. We thank you.
Hey, Ryan, let's talk a little bit about this past weekend, and what an amazing weekend.
Great job.
You know, it's hard to put that into words, really, you know, when you're summing up what has happened in the last 5 years to the WOW, and I can't show a picture on the radio, but I got two pictures on my phone side by side. Well, that's an amazing picture, too, but I got one from the front. So I look at a picture from 2 years ago, and you look at the stacks of speakers we just got sitting on the grass next to the stage. We got this little tin can stage. You got, you know, 100 people in front of the stage, which we thought was a big crowd at that time, and it's like, okay, and then you look at the pictures from this year, and it's like, incredible. What did we do? You know,
thousands. I mean, yeah.
Thousands of people, this huge stage, these big LED screens, like, and next year we're getting sides to the stage to make it wider. There's still not enough space on that for everything going on, and we're going to have a catwalk on it next year. Like, it's going to, you know, it's going to even make this year's.
Oh, catwalk out into the crowd?
Yeah.
Oh, so, man.
We got a new
company
this year.
Almost looked good coming out there on that catwalk.
That's right, yeah. We put the ball machines out there, and kind of out in front of everything, and then the stuff behind you can go.
And then Elvis coming. It will be Elvis next year, right?
That's right. Okay. Yeah, we're in talks with his manager right now. Yep. It was an amazing weekend. Once again, Mother Nature treated us so well and you know, gave us great weather.
I think Mother Nature approves of what you're doing.
Wow, we appreciate Mother Nature in that. And, you know, it's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours of work, you know, from a lot of people to put that together. But you stand out there on Friday and Saturday and see them crowds, see everybody having fun, hear the thousands of compliments that come your way that you just appreciate, and you know, it makes it all worth it. It's a lot of blood and tears and sweat and cuss words and everything else that that make that happen, but it appears
to go very smoothly every year. It just kind of goes like
it does.
Yeah, these guys have been doing this for 50 years.
And every year since the start, the us core committee members, maybe with the exception of me because I'm up there talking too much, but you know, it kind of runs itself. It's like, it gets to the weekends, like, we can sit back and watch this happen, right? We don't have to physically labor. And that's the testament to the over 300 volunteers that come in and help us during that weekend.
Yep. For $100, you get to see an amazing Friday night show. You get to sit there with your friends and people like us. It's not a bunch of kids running around. It's older people who just enjoy it. And then you get Salt Creek, Tracy Bird on... For $100, are you kidding me?
Yeah,
I talked to a guy who says this is so much better than the country concert because of the way it's set up, and you're not walking back and forth.
And you know, you go to any concert, what's it going to cost you for a beer? You know, I went and watched Hardy 2 weeks ago at Allen County Fair. Great concert. I paid, I forget how much, over $100 a ticket, right, for that. Stood in the pit, and then I'm down there buying $5 beers a piece. So you're coming to our place, and you're paying, you know, $20 for a 12-pack, right? You know, so it's, you know, it's not like you're getting hosed on any of that. And then you watch people come up on Sunday, and you watch this chick drive a Challenger out of there who 24 hours prior, they didn't even know what a Challenger was. She won it. She was going, what a win. A Challenger. What's a Challenger?
You said, I'll give you $10,000.
And what's really awesome, another thing that's really awesome besides that is, you know, the food. Mm-hmm. It's great food. $4 cheeseburgers.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing's too expensive, and you got the great food trucks down there.
You're not gouging people like they do at most places with a captive audience.
Exactly.
You're giving them a good deal on everything.
And it kind of spoke volumes this year when everybody was selling out. My wife wanted chicken fingers at 6 o'clock on Saturday. We had eaten our fair share of free cheeseburgers and backstage for the last 24 hours. Oh, she was chicken fingers. Walk up there, VFW, completely sold out of food. You walk over to Seth Swallow's stand, you know, selling them fancy dogs, and he sold out of stuff. You know, you go to the next stand, and it's
Seth Swallow's stuff.
To the WOW stand, and they say, oh, well, we got 200 burgers left at 7 o'clock, or we're going to be out. It's like, where, you know, Jimmy Toby said on Friday night at like 8 o'clock, boys, we're running out of beer this weekend. Like, it's 8 o'clock on Friday. You're already calling, we're going to run out of beer. Like, go buy. They were awesome.
I mean, just absolutely fire cold crowd.
I finally got down there at 11 o'clock after I got the football game in the archives. There, 3,000 people there in front of the stage. It was jam-packed, and everybody was going crazy.
Oh,
they were really good.
They were really good. That lead singer could sing anything. That band was so good. But isn't it a testament to our community, to that band, to everything we're all about, that Jeff Vaughn can go up to that band right before they start and say, hey, guys, my buddy Joe Bruns just passed away, and his favorite song was Every Rose Has Its Thorn. And that guy said, because we've never sang that before. We've never tried it. Last song of the night, he goes up there. He says, hey, this is for Joe Bruns. We've never sang this before. I'm going to sing you one chorus of it. He started singing. The band started playing, and they played the entire dang song. Like, they never stopped. They just kept going, and they just jumped right in there and played a whole thing, and it was
awesome.
Unbelievable.
And that band is the headliner down at Hairborn in Fairborn, Ohio in 2 weeks.
Okay, yeah.
For their, they shut down the street. That is the headliner for WTUE's big show. That's Dayton, Ohio, biggest classic rock station around, and that's their headliner. Well, they were the Friday headliner. Tracy Byrd was Saturday headliner.
And I got to say this for Tracy too, you know, and I'm, you know, you got me into it now, but you know, you get some of them bigger acts, and you can get some guys that are uppity, or they think they're too cool for you and too good, and Tracy Byrd was the most laid back, awesome, down to earth guy you ever met. We offered to, you know, we called him 4 weeks ago and said, hey, we want to purchase one of your guitars, because they sell them on their website, you know, that we're going to give away during our stage games on Saturday. He brought it up with him, had it signed, donated it to us, said, here you go, boys, I don't want any money for it, you know, and he donated it to us. And he stood back there and talked with anybody that was backstage that wanted to talk with, took pictures with anybody. And when we asked the manager 10 minutes before the 50-50, hey, you know, Tracy, maybe you want to pull the 50-50 for us? By the way, we asked both the headliners last year, and they both said, no way, we're too cool for that. We're above us. Tracy's like, that'd be awesome. Yeah, I'm in. He'd come walk out there with a crowd and pull a 50-50 ticket for us for a $29,000.
He probably thought that he was living the watermelon crawl. I mean, you know, got a one horse town or whatever, you know, and it was perfect.
Yeah, it was an amazing week, and it was awesome. We could sit here and do a whole other hour show talking about that.
But let's take.
But
a break.
We don't have time for that, Neil.
We're taking a break. We're going to Rocker real quick, and then we're going to
Jim Wacker.
Yep. Then we have a lot of stuff going on at 8:30. So we have a lot of stuff going on. Back in just a couple minutes.
Forrest Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Forrest, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Forrest Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Forrest Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Promotion from within the company is huge, and it's very much supported by the owners.
At Cooper Farms, we value hard work and dedication toward bettering yourself, and we reward that. We know that our team members are the key to our success.
We offer them classes. We help them try to get to that next level. We want them to learn. The people are our asset.
Apply online at CooperFarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hi, this is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting Finance and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. I believe firmly in two things. The little things mean a lot, and to be great, you have to be practicing certain tasks, OADB, on a daily basis. As a coach myself, certain small things completed the right way are the ripple in the pond that many times leads to a tidal wave of success in your operation. Trust me, there's a big difference between a pass or a toss at your feet as opposed to one that hits you right in the numbers. See me for a free review. CSG Consulting, your partner in planning and the fundamental things. 419-852-4049.
St. Joseph Parish celebrates their 40th annual Homecoming Festival this year on September 8th through 10th. This year's events are highlighted by St. Joe's largest cornhole tournament on Friday night, a professional fireworks show, and the return of DJs Slick and RJ on Saturday night, and music by Natalie Uhlenhake on Sunday. Kitty tractor pulls, horseshoe tournaments, raffle drawings, games and food and fun will be had by all. It all happens on the grounds of St. Joe Church outside of Fort Recovery September 8th, 9th, and 10th. Check the St. Joe Homecoming Festival Facebook page or the Church Bulletin for all of the details.
We're back talking to Tracy Byrd.
No, it's not Tracy Bird. That's Rocker.
Not Tracy Bird.
I don't think he stayed over that long.
Hello, Rocker.
Rocker Bird.
Jack.
Well, this has been some night, hasn't it?
Full plate of entertainment.
I'll tell you.
Well, not sure.
Miss a day, you miss a lot, buddy.
Word.
So what you got for us?
On this day of pop culture, yesterday, 1922, the first radio advertisement ads were aired.
Oh, awesome.
So they didn't have ads on radio before 1922?
Apparently not.
They didn't have radio before 1922.
Yeah, they did.
Okay, when did KDKA start up then?
Gesundheit.
Huh?
KDKA in Pittsburgh, first commercial radio station. When did they start? I'm going to say apparently 1922.
1898?
No. 1898. Marconi hadn't done his magic.
That's, yes. And 1997, Netflix is founded by Reed Hastings. No relation
Reed
to Hastings. Carl, I'm guessing.
Yes, yeah, probably not.
Netflix.
Awesome, Bob. Thanks. 1920.
So do you have Netflix at your house?
I piggybacked.
Huh?
Do a little piggyback and come back.
Okay.
I have no idea what that means, but we believe you.
Well, it's the polite way of saying borrowing it.
Oh. Okay.
August 30th. On this day in 1927... my dad was born.
All right.
Oh, awesome.
Happy birthday, Richard Sr.
Yeah. Would have been 96 today.
Happy birthday.
96. Happy birthday.
I'm sure he'd have been up there for this whole show.
He's listening.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's up there listening.
He's watching.
Yeah, so watch your mouth.
You
I think that barn door sale when I did the earmuff thing, so I'm sure he's okay. Well aware.
Okay.
1968, Apple released their first hit single under the label Hey Jude.
Hey Jude, don't make it bad.
Bum.
Take a sad song.
One of the greatest songs ever.
One of the most popular, great. The lyrics aren't really that awesome, but yeah.
Don't bring me down.
Huge.
What's your favorite Beatles song?
Oh, Wild Honey Pie.
Wild Honey Pie.
It's about Mine a minute too. And 5 seconds long, and it is stupid. But that's a long story. We do not have
Wild Honey Pie.
Yes, it's about a minute and 4 seconds. It's on the White Album,
Rocker.
And it's
what's your
it's
favorite
not anything
Beatles
you'd
song?
Oh God, I like the old school Beatles. I like the Norwegian Wood.
I like that too.
It's actually pretty good.
Yes, it is.
Let It Be, my favorite.
Yep.
Happy birthday time.
Birthday.
On Tuesday, we had Chad Schreier.
Yeah. And happy birthday, Chad.
Wednesday, Brad Brett.
Wait, you skipped one on Tuesday.
Robert.
Who's that?
No, I don't. It's not on my.
I think my sister Mindy, right?
Yeah, Mindy.
Yeah.
Melinda.
Yes, sorry about that, Mindy.
Mindy is not happy with Rock.
Yep. She loves him, but Brett, not as Brett. Much as she did before.
Stubby.
A stub.
Clock's a ticking. Today, Brad Brett's.
Happy birthday, Brad.
And then tomorrow we got Jeremiah Wyckoff and Kate Ratliff.
Kate right. Who?
Kate Ratliff.
Awesome. I have no idea who that is, but
where's she from?
Nazarene Church.
Oh.
She's the...
Oh, the sister pastor. So here's Wild Honey Pie. They do this for about a minute. That's Wild Honey Pie. They do that exact stuff for almost
a minute.
That's the whole song. My favorite.
I'm going to say what Jack Price is thinking. I could have went the whole year and not heard that song.
Without doubt.
Well, somebody asked what my favorite Beatles song was. And of course, I picked something strange.
It says in the daytime.
Oh, beep, boy.
Beep, beep. Everybody loves us.
I hope it's me this time.
Rita Plyman.
Oh. Rita Plyman.
I like her a lot.
Is there any protests on that
one?
Nope. Okay. Rita's a good egg.
Yep.
So, like, why do you pick Rita?
Yeah, well, with Bobby. Yeah.
I'm trying to get everybody in, so,
okay.
Stay with me, big guy.
We're in. We're with you.
Celebrity birthday time.
Ooh, birthdays.
Yesterday, Elliot Gould, the original Trapper John.
Yep.
85.
85?
Ooh.
One of my favorites. I'm sure Fee's seen her a few times. Rebecca De Mornay, 64, from Risky Business.
Risky Business.
Okay.
Hand that rocked the cradle.
Very good. She's very good. I'm very impressed.
Thank you.
Sunshine. Leah Michelle is 37.
Who?
Exactly.
She was in the Who? I thought that was Pete Townsend.
Today's birthday, and there's only one.
Oh.
Cameron Diaz, 51.
That's a good one, though.
Yeah, that's a good one.
She's one of my favorites.
Farrah Fawcett.
Her in The Mask.
Okie dokie.
Yep.
She was at her hottest right there.
Bubba, do you have any favorites over there? Yeah. Taking a dirt nap over there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Narcolepsy.
So I thought you might mention this person.
Oh, yeah. Well,
who is it?
He got the closest to a dollar to 100 without going over.
Oh, Bob Barker.
Got the closest to 100 without going over. Bob Barker.
You wouldn't say St. Peter said, come on down.
Be up, but yeah.
Come on up.
Him in that Happy Gilmore movie was still a class.
Yes. Wait, yeah. I mean, you talk about so out of character.
Yeah.
Of what
the price
his
is
perception
wrong.
Is. Yeah. That was awesome.
Rocker, yes. I appreciate you, buddy.
Yep.
I texted Neil. I said, "Now this is a pretty stacked show. I'm not sure how you
well, we have
slide
to get Rocker
in.
Have to get Rocker.
Neil always wants to make room for you.
Yep, always.
Always get
it's important.
We got some important guys coming up next.
Yes, we do.
Very important. Yes. So I'll skedaddle for a while, and
we will see you next Wednesday.
See you next Wednesday.
Yep.
Fantastic. Thanks, Rocker.
Back in just a minute with
stay tuned,
what's supposed to be sports talk.
For Larry Keller and Jim Wachter.
And Ivan Kaufenberger.
And Ivan?
Yep.
Talking well, about we know who'll do most of the talking.
Well, hope it's not Ivan. Back in just a minute.
The local area suicide awareness group will be having their annual suicide awareness community walk at the Mercer County Fairgrounds on Saturday morning, September 9th, from 8:30 to 11 a.m. If you'd like to be part of this great cause, all you need to do is stop by the fairgrounds that day and register. Get your pledges lined up ahead of time and walk as far and as long as you want, and you can start any time from 9 to 11. Find details at assuremc.org. All proceeds from the walk will be used to promote suicide prevention and awareness and to support local suicide support and services in our communities and schools. So if you want to help out a great cause and get a little exercise in the process, head out to the Mercer County Fairgrounds on Saturday morning, September 9th, from 8:30 to 11 a.m. and join the Suicide Awareness Community Walk presented by Assure, the area suicide support resources.
St. Joseph Parish celebrates their 40th annual Homecoming Festival this year on September 8th through 10th. This year's events are highlighted by St. Joe's largest cornhole tournament on Friday night, a professional fireworks show, and the return of DJs Slick and RJ on Saturday night, and music by Natalie Eulenhake on Sunday. Kitty tractor pulls, horseshoe tournaments, raffle drawings, games and food and fun will be had by all. It all happens on the grounds of St. Joe Church outside of Fort Recovery September 8th, 9th, and 10th. Check the St. Joe Homecoming Festival Facebook page or the church bulletin for all of the details.
Here are the sports broadcasts coming up the rest of this week on Fort Recovery Radio. Tomorrow, our Lady Indians will host the Parkway Lady Panthers and will simulcast WPGW's coverage of that game with the NFHS video. Friday night is football night, and our Indians will travel to Coldwater. The Fort Recovery Radio broadcast team will bring you all the action live, with the pregame show starting at 6:40. The NFHS video will be available for the game. Saturday, it will be volleyball again, as the Lady Indians will host the Arcanum Lady Trojans. Fort Recovery Radio will broadcast the varsity match live, starting around 11 a.m. with the NFHS video. Be sure to get out to as many games as you can to help cheer on our Indians teams. But if you just can't get there in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
It's 8:34.
It's 63 degrees.
Broadcasting live from our Fort Recovery Radio studios located in downtown historic Fort Recovery. You're listening to Sports Talk with Bo and Fee, which is powered by Wayne Street Market in historic Fort Recovery. Without further ado, here's your host and co-hosts, Mr. Bob Sogler and Mr. Harold Feely on Sports Talk with Bo and Fee.
We're back. An extended version of Insight in the Sports Talk realm to a certain extent, right, Neil?
Yes, so Sports Talk Insight.
Yes. So I'll tell you what, I have three really cool guys talking about a really cool event that's coming up. The weekend, I think, of September 15th and 16th and 17th, I think. The 9/11 Never Forget Mobile Museum is coming to Portland.
That's right.
And I've got Jim Wachter and Ivan Kaufenberger and Larry Keller here to kind of talk about this event, what exactly is the 9/11 Mobile Museum. And then I wouldn't mind touching on, and Jim, I think you can help with this, the Museum of Soldiers.
Museum of the Soldier, yeah.
Yeah. So let's start with the Mobile Museum that's coming to visit the Jay County Fairgrounds. Why don't you talk about it?
Okay, well, it's every year for the last almost 6 years, we've been hosting the Indiana Military Vehicle Show. It's a MVPA, Military Vehicle Preservation Association, and we have a statewide show, and we've hosted that in the Jay County Fairgrounds now for about 6 years. Previously, it was in Crawfordsville, and before that, Indianapolis, so, but we brought it over here, and we've kind of expanded it over the years. And it starts on Friday the 15th and runs 15th and 16th. And then some of the vehicle people will hold over till the 17th. And Huey giving rides, helicopter Vietnam era. And we've also got, guy brings a tank up from Kentucky, and kids can hop in the tank and he'll take them around. And it's very kid-friendly, very people-friendly display. It's all free thanks to a lot of efforts on Larry Keller's part of raising funds to cover what would be the gate charge. And then this year, and this was kind of an obsession of mine to bring in the 9/11 mobile memorial exhibit, and I worked on it for about 2 years to get it set up, and been working with the Tunnel to Towers Foundation out of New York, and had to raise $20,000 to make it happen, and we had some great sponsors that came on board, which I'll talk about, you know, later in the program, I guess. But it's set up as it's a traveling exhibit. It's a large semi exhibit that expands out and has a lot of original artifacts from the 9/11. There's firemen's uniforms, there's parts of the building, there's pieces of fire truck, there's a lot of original things. And they also bring two firemen with it that were actually at the 9/11. They give tours, they do program, they talk to people. And so this is an opportunity for people. You know, if you think about it, I'm going to jump back here just a minute. Kids that were born since 2000 have no clue. I mean, this is beyond them. And even little kids that were born, you know, were 4 and 5 and 6 years old then, don't really have any recollection of it. So this is an opportunity. If you haven't been to New York, you haven't been to the memorial, this is an opportunity to to see firsthand a lot of things that was one of the great, you know, tragedy events of our lifetime.
Well, and it's, you know, you mentioned the tunnel to tower foundation, and it's called that because a young fireman, I think in his early 30s, when the plane hit the building, he chose to grab his pack, to run through a tunnel to the tower, and this young father of five lost his life, you know, and so that foundation that created this mobile museum is based off of this guy's heroic
right
efforts,
his know? Brother started the foundation, and the goal is, and they do a very good job of it, is any fireman, policeman, first responder that loses their life, or any veteran military person that loses their life doing their job, they take and pay their mortgage of their family. If they have a family with a house, you know, mortgage and thing, they will pay off that mortgage, and they do that quite a lot, actually.
Yeah.
And they also, if they're injured and they need special type of housing, they need they lose legs, whatever, and they will provide a home for them that meets their physical needs. And in fact, there's a young gentleman who will be at our show that from Lafayette, Indiana, who is a school teacher and a coach, but he lost both his legs and I think he lost an arm in Afghanistan, and they just provide him a home in June of this year. So he's going to be over at our show. I'm not sure what day or if it's multiple days yet. He's not sure of his schedule because, believe it or not, he's coaching baseball.
Isn't that amazing?
So
isn't that just amazing?
Oh,
so, Jim, I tell you what, you can't help but notice when you talk about these things, there's a source of pride that is so very evident. Can you share a little bit of your background?
Passion.
Yes.
Passion, you call that.
Passion and pride. So, can you share a little bit of your background as far as your military experience?
Well, my dad was a World War II veteran. Three of my uncles served in the First World War. Cousin killed in World War II. Cousin killed in Korea. And when I was just getting out of high school in 1964, I wanted to go to the Coast Guard, and through a screw up at the draft board when I had to get a copy of my draft classification, I got drafted. And so I just said, okay, I'll go in the Army. Well, when I got in there, I was just turned 18, took aptitude tests, and somewhere down the line they decided I was smart enough to go to officer candidate school. So in 1966, I ended up in engineer officer candidate school in Fort Belvoir, Virginia. And ironically, even though I grew up in southeast Indiana, one of my classmates was a guy by the name of Keith Dilworth from Fort Recovery, Ohio.
Yep.
Keith and I were classmates.
Just spoke to his sister yesterday.
Keith and I were classmates through class of 567 and graduated in April 1967, the second tenants. And I ran into Keith some, you know, when I moved up here in 76. Was probably in the late 80s when I first realized Keith and I had been classmates. And so that was kind of an interesting experience. I did serve in Vietnam in 68, 1969 with the 69th Engineer Battalion in the Mekong Delta, and served in Alaska and spent some time in Korea and did some crazy stupid things.
Well, I tell you what, you may have done some stupid things, but you've done some absolutely awesome and heroic things in the eyes of many. So I appreciate your years of service. Larry, why don't you share your background?
Well, you know, before I do that, I'm going to ask Jim one more thing to tell you about our escort coming from Bryant, Indiana.
Okay, when the tunnel to towers is coming in, it's going to be coming on the 14th, on Thursday the 14th in the afternoon, about 2 o'clock. And I just found out that one of the group of Patriot riders that are going to be doing it are going to meet him at the state line on where's coming out of Salina at the state line where 67 starts.
Yeah.
They're going to meet him there and bring him all the way through, but we're going to have FAR, police, and the Legion and Patriot Riders, bringing them all the way in from Bryant with lots of sirens and lots of noise and flashing lights. And the Freedom Flyers flag is going to be flying as they come into Portland. And the flag from W&M Manufacturing, Scott.
Oh, J&M, yeah.
Or J&M, I mean, I said W&M, yeah. I'm sorry. J&M is going to be flying at the show as well.
That sounds like something that J&M would definitely do.
Well, J&M is the major sponsor for Tunnel to Towers. He put up the major part of the money for this exhibit. So
that also sounds like something J&M would definitely do.
Scott,
a good organization.
Scott Grease, bless his heart, is a prime part of this exhibit.
Yep.
And I can't say enough about that.
So, Jim, do you have any estimate on what time they'll be coming into Portland?
I've talked to the driver several times at bringing it in, and he said they would. Right now, the plan is to be in Bryant between 2 and 2:30.
Okay.
And then I would say we'll probably be in Portland by 3 o'clock.
And that's on the Thursday the 14th?
Thursday the 14th.
Yep.
So, I tell you what, to make sure that you put it into perspective. So, there is a museum. I think it's 1,100 square foot museum coming into the Jay County Fairground. It's an interactive museum to a certain extent in that you can hear some of the 911 calls.
Right.
You can see pieces of the fire truck and the metal, and you can talk to a couple of firemen that were involved that day.
Right, yeah.
So
first person contact.
When you think about the experience and the connection that you can make with a piece of history that, like it says, we should never forget. You'll never get a better opportunity than the Jay County Fairgrounds here in just a couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's incredible. I actually have seen this twice. I saw it about 3 years ago, and then about 3 weeks ago, it was in Fort Jennings for their festival.
Mm-hmm.
And I went over, and they were just setting it up. So I got a chance to talk with the driver and watch him set it up and got to go through it. And it is incredible.
That's fantastic.
So if you want to be kind of have a chance to get firsthand accounts of what went on, you'll never find a better way than doing this. You can go to the actual site of the trade towers, but there's not people there that were there to talk to you unless you happen to run into one.
You won't have that interaction.
Yeah, not
like
a
you
chance.
Will, like you will here.
Yeah, this is something else.
Yeah, it's going to
be. This is big.
And as a Shelfie's comment, I beat out Notre Dame to get it this weekend.
Oh, wow.
Fantastic.
They were wanting it, and I got it.
Wow.
So, Jim, do you know, are there any schools or classes that are planning on bringing kids out there
right now
on Friday?
Right now, there's two classes from Jay County. I've got about 137 students coming in on Friday about noon, and I think there's two or three more going to come. But any school group that wants to come Friday, it'll be open as of 10 o'clock on Friday morning, and we're going to try to make Friday school group day. And then on Sunday, we want to honor and we want to invite any firemen, police, first responders, anybody like that. We want to do Sunday as first responder day. So, if they want to bring a fire truck over from their fire department, police cars, whatever, and put them on the grounds, and we'll recognize and honor them that day.
If we haven't already said it, this is at the Jay County Fairgrounds. And so there's plenty of parking. You don't have to worry about parking spaces or anything else. And another important note here is this is a regional event. This is not a a Portland event, a Jay County event. This is a Jay County, a Mercer County, and all the surrounding counties. It's a regional event. And so I personally have visited our local fire department, went to their meeting. I've been to the St. Henry Fire Department meeting. I've been in Coldwater to the first responders, and the response from them was tremendous. And so I know we're going to see a lot of those firemen, yeah, people like that. Yeah. The paramedics definitely showing up at this event. So it's going to be great.
It's a multi-state. We'll have a multi-state turnout for it.
Yeah. Now, if somebody, let's say just somebody wants to take their family over, a couple individuals, whatever it is, can you just show up and
just show up?
Things.
It's all free. It's open to the public from about 8 o'clock in the morning till dark. And
yep. So when they're doing the tours, do you take X number of people at a time,
they just start in? They have a lineup, and then you just they just go through.
Yeah, so you don't have to get there at 10:15 and 2:15 and all that to do it. You go at your convenience.
In fact,
it'll work for you.
Yeah, and you.
I was going to look.
You not only want to visit the 911, but the rest of the fairgrounds is full of military vehicles and displays people to talk to. And it just, I know at my personal spot where I will be, I have 4 military vehicles, and one is a 1952 ambulance. And so my daughter, who is a nurse, and my son's wife, who's a 20-year care flight nurse, they'll be doing free blood pressure checking. We'll have a mesh bash at my unit.
Mesh bash. That's
and
awesome.
So there's just a lot going on there.
T-shirts. Awesome. You going to have the martinis there?
You might want to stop and check with me.
Not at liberty to say.
But you may see a tank running around the grounds. You may see a weasel. You may see a mule. You just never know what is going to be there. It's going to be a lot of military vehicles.
We had vehicles from 5 states last year and people from 17 states.
Wow.
That showed up.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Now, the Tunnel to Tars exhibits will be open on the 15th from 10 to 5, on the 16th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., and then on the 17th from 10 a.m. on Sunday to 4 p.m. And we'll do a closing ceremony on Sunday with hopefully with an honor guard and a firing squad and all that.
But that's not the only time things will be going on. So you can get there.
There's stuff going on.
Yep.
And there'll be lunch stands and everything else there, so you can get your food too while you're there. But again, free admission. No charge.
That's pretty good.
And thanks to a lot of donors.
A lot of donors.
Well, and I was going to say, you know, these things don't just happen without at least a few guys working their tails off. And if I had to guess, I'd say, you know, Jim and Larry are two of those that have definitely done
that. Our planning committee meets once a month all year long. So we meet usually down at Indianapolis, where most of the guys are. And we meet one Sunday a month all year long planning this, plus a lot of other meetings.
Yeah.
And I'm the ground guy, so I spend all my time going around begging and pleading and, you know, with everybody to get involved.
This Tunnel to Towers program isn't all just for big city firemen either, or for big city
departments
or military people. We have a situation this summer or this spring, and it happened right down in farmland.
Yeah.
And with the work of Jim Wachter, they're probably going to be working on helping this fireman's family out, because he died in a crash on there.
Yeah.
So, and because of Jim, once again.
And they're going to help the family out with some financial stuff.
Yeah.
You know, in Tunnels Towers, one of the ways the main way they get their money is they ask you to sign up and be a member at $11 a month. You know, 9/11. So it's $11 a month, automatically comes out, you sign up for it. So, you know, it's not that much over $100 a year, $120 a year cost.
Yeah.
And
$11 at a time isn't anything.
And the amount of good they do is unbelievable.
Yeah. And anybody can be involved in that?
Oh, absolutely. Just go online, Tunnel Towers, and you'll see the forum there to sign up.
Perfect.
And again, I think that website is t2t.org.
That sounds correct.
Yes. So, man, I'd hate to think that you could find a much more worthy cause than what this is.
I don't think you could.
So, Jim, I tell you what, you are certainly somebody that I think a lot of people would stand back and admire and think, look at all he's done. And
just at a weekend time, anybody should go over to the Museum of the Soldier in Portland. It's at the old Coke plant. It's unbelievable with what these gentlemen, all these people that are involved, yeah, have done over there. And it's 10 miles away from us.
Yeah. And you know what? I had never heard of it until I found out Jim was going to come and visit. Mm-hmm. And I think it's open every other Sunday.
First and third weekends of the month from noon to 5. And we're all volunteer driven, and until I retired, we didn't have anybody on site, but I'm retired 2 years ago, so I'm around most of the time, and people can just call me, and I'll be down there. We started out doing what we called a suitcase museum back in the 80s, two or three of us. We'd set up a display, and we'd travel. People call up and say, we need a display, and we end up doing things in Kentucky and Tennessee and Illinois, and, you know, that's what we did our weekends. We'd pack up on a Friday after work and take off and drive all night, set up a display for the weekend, drive all night on Sunday, back. And we just kept growing and growing and adding people, and we ended up finally in 2000 getting the building from Coca-Cola. Gave us the building, which was a blessing and a curse. The blessing was a great big brick structure. The curse was the roofs were shot, the windows were shot, the electric was shot, and there was no heat, and 26,000 square feet of a big shell. So we've spent the last 20 years raising money and getting it fixed up, and we just got our first heating system in part of it now, so we feel really blessed with that. We've got incredible, I tell people, we have world-class objects. In fact, speaking of 9/11, we have one of the three phones that George Bush used on 9/11 at Offutt Air Force Base. He was in Florida. They flew him to Offutt that day. He used three telephones. One's at the Smithsonian. One is at the George Bush Library in Dallas, which I have seen. And we had the third one.
Wow. How cool is
that?
And
it's documented. It's documented.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
And most of us never heard of this.
And again, I just want to point out, and I'm going to screw this up because I'm still in the learning phase, but it's called the Museum of the Soldier.
Correct.
And it is in the old Coke plant, which is, I think, on Botaw?
We're on Arch Street, 510. Arch. Okay. 510 East Arch Street. We're three blocks south of the fairgrounds and then a block west.
Okay. So, you know, so often people are Googling where to go, and they end up driving an hour and a half to go someplace that ain't worth a shit. When you've got something like this,
sometimes it's good.
Did
he not say that?
No, he's not allowed to. He knows that.
But
it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable to visit this place.
Jack, yeah. I would bet there is something in there from the Stalger family. I know all of your uncles and everybody was in the military, and a lot of military history there in your family. And that's what the museum is all about. There is numerous Fort Recoveries.
A lot of Fort Recovery stuff
in that museum.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of history here from the military.
As a side note, we have a World War I nurses grouping from a lady from Bryant, Indiana, who served in France during World War I. In 1986, I think it was, or 87, when Coldwater had their anniversary, I saw this uniform set up in the window of one of the stores.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to figure out whose it was. I could never come up with who had it, who owned it. And I tried for years to find it because it was first of all, it was a World War I nurse. Secondly, she was from Jay County. Finally, about a year ago, I got a phone call, thanks to Larry Keller, passing the word to the gentleman in Coldwater. He had his aunt's World War I nurses grouping, and he wanted to donate somewhere. And Larry told him to call Museum of the Soldier, which he did. As soon as he called me, I knew the uniform. And it was the one I'd been looking for 30 years.
Wow.
Oh, man. And turns out that she, after she got back, she married a guy from Fort Recovery, and she was one of the first women in the American Legion in the United States.
Yep.
And she was a life member of the American Legion.
I remember reading that story in the Daily Standard.
She was a commander also here at the Post.
Really?
Lavinia.
Well, you can bet if there's any.
Boniface.
Yep.
But I don't remember her married name.
No, I don't either.
Here.
Yep. You can bet it.
Hafner. Hafner was
her. If there's any uniforms or jackets from the Stogler boys, they weren't smaller mediums.
But you know, and this is exactly how the museum gets their stuff, as people pass on and the family says, the next generation said, what do we do with this stuff?
Yeah.
Here's the man who'll take it. Here's the man who'll display it. And he wants all the uniforms. He wants the badges, you know, and the history.
Source of pride. And
yes.
Well, we do a lot of we do a lot of rescues of history. And we just got a grouping in about 3 weeks ago. The veteran service officer said one morning to me, he said, somebody left a big tote full of stuff at my office when I wasn't there, and the janitor set it out by the door. He said, do you want it? I don't know what's in it. And I said, sure. So he brought it down. He said, I don't know who brought it, but here it is. Well, on the top was a guy from Jay County who served in Vietnam in the 9th Division and had passed away several years ago. Underneath that was three groupings of three brothers from World War II, from Winchester. Brother number one served in the, we started researching him. Brother number one served in the Navy and went in 39 on the USS Helena, which was a light cruiser. They were at Pearl Harbor, took a torpedo, got repaired, went out, and was sunk in the Solomons in 1943, and he was killed. In that grouping, we found his Purple Heart with his name on it, other medals, paperwork, photographs, documents.
Wow.
Incredible.
Things that just can't be lost.
Yeah.
Just can't be lost.
Brother number two serves on a B-17 tail gunner. 24 flights. On the 25th flight, they usually, if they, when they complete 25 flights, they were sent home. 24th flight to get shot down. He's killed. He's got Distinguished Flying Cross, five air medals, his Purple Heart with his name on it, paperwork, photographs, documents. Brother number three joins the Navy in 1943 when his first brother is killed at 17 years old. Survives the war, got all of his stuff, gets killed in a Jeep accident in Guam in 1947. Brothers all died.
All died.
This stuff was in this tote. We finally found out who brought it into the service office. She said they were cleaning out a garage, found it, didn't know what to do with it, were going to throw it away, and somebody suggested taking it to Veteran Service Office. Came that close to being lost history.
Being picked.
And what an incredible story.
Yeah, those things can't, you know, Purple Hearts, those kind of things, that can't be lost.
That's Saving Private Ryan stuff there, you know, that's impressive.
Well,
but guys, I tell you what, I know that, man, I hate to cut this any shorter, but the important thing is,
we're only an hour over time.
For everybody to make it to the Jay County Campground, or Jay County Fairground, on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, September 14th, 15th, 16th.
It's something that you'll...
The Indiana
you will
Military
be very
Vehicle.
Happy you did.
May I do a shameless promotion?
Yes, you can.
On Friday the 15th, from 4:30 to 7, we're doing our Museum of the Soldier Chicken Supper out at the fairgrounds. And it's a drive-through, but they get quarter barbecue chicken, cheesy potatoes, baked beans, and a drink for $12. I have tickets. All they have to do is call me at 260-729-7017 to get tickets. Or Larry Keller has tickets.
Yep. Okay, is this something that I also heard on WPGW that they're giving, that they're selling some tickets to?
He's selling them. He's discounting them. We're doing a trade out. He gets tickets from us to do advertising, and then he sells them at a discount. So, yes.
Well, I tell you what, I wish you well for that. Yes, Ivan.
When you talk about somebody that has a passion for this
right there. These two gentlemen have it.
It is, and it's so evident in talking. Definitely. Well, you know, and it's such a source of pride to both of these gentlemen. So we appreciate you guys taking the time.
Well, Jack and Neil, thanks for having us.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. We're really glad we can.
Maybe we'll do it again sometime.
Yeah, anytime there's something going on with that, let us know. With Museum of the Soldier, anything when you're doing a...
Someday you need to spend time interviewing him about his father.
Yeah, we've had a couple of times when we talked about Harry Kaufenbarger.
Okay.
And he...
Because there's a story. Yes. And there's a hero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and it brought us his mom, Helen, which is the biggest prize we ever got in Fort Recovery. His mom, Helen, was one of the most awesome people that ever existed. His mom was a great woman.
Yep.
And she had an okay son.
Okay.
Or two. Yeah, three. Yeah.
So we want everybody to stay tuned for the upcoming sports talk. It's a special one. We're going to be talking about two very special people,
Mr.
Joe Bruns and Mr. Ed Wercamp.
Yep.
So this is the latest I've ever been on.
Yeah.
My God, I'm going to bed. My hearing aid went out about 15 minutes ago. For Insight, we'll be back next week.
All right.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show is being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you.
Sure.